Right.
Right. Now I'm going to reach inside this thing. And there's all of this stuff's going to like fall out. Okay, but don't worry.
What do I do?
Just catch it. Catch as much as you can, okay?
Okay.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's intermission time. Join us at the snack bar for a tasty treat. Security, can you please escort the two gentlemen in the popcorn machine?
Come on, John.
Go.
I'm John.
And I'm Drew.
And you're listening to The Hourchive,
our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
Episode.
It is the final episode, isn't it? This is our last one.
This is the last of
it's like
the summer series in 2013.
This is the grand finale. This is the the final scene, if you will.
Yeah.
We're going to
sun's going down.
Yeah,
on the final day of summer. Right?
Yeah. I feel like we always need to like add an asterisk here because it's not technically the end of summer, but you know,
but we're all
our cultural understanding of summer coming to an end.
Right.
So in case you missed that disclaimer last summer.
Yeah, here it is.
There it is again.
You can apply that disclaimer to the last one too.
You can, yeah.
This one is about drive-in movie theaters.
Yeah,
we've had
not
contentious
to be with the drive-in like restaurants, which we'll
cover in a different
show.
Don't just eliminate. Look, I've already told you I have a limited knowledge, so I need to pull on whatever I got.
I was gonna say we're saving that for our other show that we're piloting. About drive-in restaurants and dives.
And diners.
And diners, yeah. Which I think is going to be a really great podcast.
Yeah,
it's just going to be us eating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yelling.
Yeah. wearing our sunglasses on the back of our heads.
And, like, having disgusting hair. Yeah. Drive-in, what was I going to say? Oh, I was going to say, you and I have had very contentious discussions about movie theaters.
Yeah.
And they still happen on a regular basis, I think.
Pretty frequently, actually. Anytime the topic comes up. Yeah.
Despite having come to certain agreements about what, you know.
Understandings.
Yeah, understandings. Yeah. We still like butt heads in this area.
Yeah.
But I wonder if we really will for this one because, A, as I said, I have like very little practical knowledge in this arena. And two, like, there's not a whole lot of variation, right, with this type of movie theater.
Perhaps.
I don't know. I know not from whence I speak.
Well.
And so maybe I should just, like, hand it to you. Or should I get my one recollection out of the way?
What is your one recollection? Roll it by me.
All right. So there used to be a drive-in theater in Crestwood.
Yeah.
Near where you and I
The 66 drive-in.
The 66 drive-in. And
or
it
park
was
in,
right across from the mall.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the one I've been to. And the movies that was a double feature. And we saw In the Line of Fire with Clint Eastwood and John Malkovich.
I forgot that movie even exists.
Followed by The Fugitive.
Wow.
With Harrison Ford.
That's a hell of a combo.
Yeah. This must have been like 92 or even 93 because I feel like not long after I heard that they were showing Jurassic Park at the theater, the drive-in, I was like, oh, I want to see it at the drive-in, which I never did.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's
it. That would
have
been a great drive-in movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I know people who've seen it in the drive-in.
And you hate them, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I don't talk to them. That's so my.
You were probably like what, 12? Yeah, 11 or 12. Something like that. Okay. That's a good.
It was. Good age. I liked The Fugitive, you know, when I saw it. In The Line of Fire, I didn't dislike it, but I wasn't, you know.
Which one came first?
In The Line of Fire.
Okay.
But, you know, it's funny. I really have, like, no recollection of the experience.
Huh.
Beyond the movies themselves.
Was the plan to go to see it at the drive-in? Yeah. It wasn't just like, well, they're showing at the drive-in.
I think it was a trip to the drive-in.
Okay.
I remember the little speaker.
Oh, yeah, the window speaker.
Yeah, the metal, like, box that we placed in our window.
Yeah, it's basically like it's like a toaster that you hang on your window.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and stuff comes out of it. Like voices.
Sounds.
Yeah. Not toast.
No.
Although that'd be great.
Yeah.
What if they had two boxes? One was a toaster and one was a speaker.
The toast would be like themed to the movie.
Oh, yeah. Like white and blue.
They could... For that one, yeah. And then it'd be like a...
Or it would have like
one-armed man for The Fugitive.
Yeah.
They could have little like stencils for each, you know, movie.
Some poor kid has to press all these pieces of toast.
It's a living.
That's great. So that was it.
That's and it. I'm done. Put it in the archive.
Did you? Did you ever like? Have you been compelled to go back at all?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to.
I mean, you can't go back to that one.
But there aren't any anywhere anymore. They're all gone.
They all left.
Aren't they?
They all moved away.
What's, are there any?
That's not true, man. That is so totally not true. I mean, there aren't any that are as close to us as that one was.
Yeah, you know,
that was the last holdout in the St. Louis, immediate St. Louis area.
I wonder, right. There's a thing about the drive-in where, like, it seems like a really great thing. Where, like, I think about it, I'm like, that sounds cool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the thought of like going and driving there, you know, pull it up to like everything about before the movie sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Like finding a spot. Do you get to go anywhere? Like in the.
Yeah. Like well, relative. Like now, like since they have so many like SUVs and stuff,
yeah.
They park those at the back. There are like a couple of those that are reserved for SUVs and then all other cars go in the front.
So you find your spot. That's fun. And you get to like pick up little. Thing right,
they don't really do that anymore.
Really?
Yeah. No. I mean, some of them still do, but for the most part, it's all gone to radio.
Really?
Yeah. You just turn on your car radio and you tune it to FM 37.
That seems like a drop in quality to me.
I gotta say, it's definitely missing some of the.
What if you have a crappy
charm.
Radio?
Well. It's still probably better than that speaker was.
Yeah.
But yeah, but there was certain charm to that speaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then once the movie starts, then I'm kind of like skeptical.
Hmm.
Like, do I want to sit in my car and watch a movie? I don't know.
There are, it's funny. I was eventually going to get to this. But
I've skipped
you.
Forward.
You jumped ahead.
Well, we can jump behind if you want.
No, I think it's good because I think you're right. Like, there's an appeal in concept to the drive-in, the whole enterprise, and the it's a very idealistic experience, right? I grew up thinking of it as this like magical land. I didn't go to a drive-in until I was like 20 something. Mm-hmm. For the first time I went. So, but I grew up knowing of them and being kind of obsessed with them and the idea of them. partially because I think it was taken away from me like right on the cusp of me actually getting to experience it. So that 66 one, like I didn't discover that place existed until I was probably 9 or 10.
Okay.
But and it was like the around that time, like, I was getting to the point where I didn't do a whole lot of movie outings with my parents. Like, my dad and I would go see a movie occasionally, or, like, they would take me to a movie that I wanted to see. Mm-hmm. But it was never like, an outing, or rarely was it an outing.
Right.
Family outing, whatnot. And then all of a sudden it was gone. The place went out of business. It fought really hard, I think. You know, they tried to make it work for as long as they could. And then they tore it down. And I was incredibly pissed.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, fuming over the fact that they had demolished this drive-in theater.
You're in your room.
Stomping, listening to Enter Sandman. Yeah.
Do-do-do-do-do. John, what are you doing?
Nothing. Just being pissed.
What did you say?
I mean, being upset. Moderately.
Turn it down.
Upset. With Metallica.
Turn that down.
Turn what down?
What are you upset about?
Drive-in. Drive-in's gone.
You've never been.
Yeah. Now I guess I never will.
Yeah, I was so angry. I remember like driving past there or riding past there because I wasn't old enough to drive at the time. But and just like watching the construction and just like thinking to myself, like, I hope whatever goes there fails. Like, I hope it goes out of business immediately. I hate you. I hate you, Kmart.
Oh, man. It was the Best Buy.
It worked, though, too. Like, the
things
first,
went out of, yeah.
Kmart went in there and like in within like 6 minutes, it was gone.
I think a Gordman's was in there and it went away.
That might still be there, actually, isn't it?
I don't know. Several things went through there.
It cycled through a bunch of places.
Is it the Best Buy now?
Best Buy is still there now, and there's a grocery store there. There's a Schnucks.
Yeah.
But I...
Good job, though. You totally...
Yeah, I got rid of one.
Hexed it.
I just needed to, like, maintain that
level
of
angst. Yeah, that's exactly it.
And then I would have just expelled all of them.
Once you got that job at Suncoast, you're like, oh, I don't mind.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever goes on over there. See, that was the other reason why I couldn't work at that Best Buy, because I couldn't take their money. They were the ones who tore down the drive-in. Yeah, but so I like grew up with this like mystical idea of the drive-in, you know. Yeah. And I think I've talked about this before, like that whole the era of the drive-in, like the golden age of the drive-in was like the 40s through the 60s.
Tell me about it, because I was actually just wondering, like, did the drive-in come about as a necessity? Was there like a requirement for this style of movie viewing, or did it come about as a novelty?
I think it was a novelty first. Mm-hmm. And actually, it might have been. It grew up along with the Route 66 culture, I guess. And part of it was an attraction for people who were traveling. You know, like places
just pull off the road and
go see a movie.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, you're spending the night in a town that doesn't have anything.
Yeah, has nothing for you.
Right. You're going to stop there because you need to stay.
You're not welcome.
Get out.
But first.
Yeah. Please enjoy this film. But that was how they did it. Like, they tried to get people to stay in these towns a little bit longer.
Yeah.
You know, so they would be like, well, what can we do? Like, well, we can show movies and people have their cars.
Right.
You know? So that was one way of doing it.
People have their cars.
People have their cars.
Well, I mean, I like that culture. Car culture was a big thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I mean, it probably would not have happened had somebody, and there probably were outdoor theaters, you know, that predated drive-ins.
Yeah.
But it didn't really take off until that moment because it was the confluence of a couple of different things.
Americans were sort of
apex.
Confluence.
Confluence. Yeah.
The Americans were sort of in love with their cars at the time, right?
Yeah.
Like, there was a real culture around driving and doing as many things from your car as you possibly can, right?
Yeah.
And the road trips were a big aspect of that, and Route 66 obviously was sort of the mother road, right? Mm-hmm. And
it was the biggie. It's so hard to imagine, like, that whole... Like, not being able to just jump on an interstate, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're probably nowhere in this country are you more than at most a couple hours away from an interstate and interstate somewhere.
Right.
You know, but then it wasn't that way.
Right.
So it's hard for me to, like, imagine that whole condition. But yeah, so you were like, you were really tied to that road. You
know,
whatever was on Route 66, you wanted to be on that road.
And
that
you didn't want to get too far away from it.
Yeah. Yeah. But they did. It became a big thing. Like, there were drive-in churches. There were drive-in...
Drive-in churches?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like, you drive and they do service?
Yeah.
You'd sit in your car?
Yeah. Some of them operated, like, those both businesses at the same location. Like, it would be a drive-in by night, and then it would be a church by day.
What?
But there were dedicated drive-in churches. Like, they didn't do movies at all. It was just a church. Like, and they would have somebody who would either, like, stand on top of a platform with a megaphone.
What?
And, you know, preach or whatever. Or they would just have, like, a microphone PA system, you know, amplified out. And then, when you had the movie theater, that would they could just do it through the speaker. You know, you could just play it.
Why haven't I seen this, like, represented in film anywhere?
It's crazy, yeah. I mean, I don't know how big it was.
I feel like there should be a Coen Brothers movie with that in
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Oh, that would be great.
Right? And some, like, sweaty...
The drive-in
preacher.
Church preacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, played by John Goodman.
Y'all come here to be preached at and serviced to. And I'm here to tell you that the Lord is on your side. Now come on over here and partake
in these pretzels.
These pretzels. Now I have to announce
they've been anointed.
That we are having an intermission, and I do encourage you to go to the lobby and enjoy some popcorn or some cotton candy. We also will be doing communion at the concession stand.
Popcorn communion.
So please pull your cars up before you leave. Amen.
Thank you. Good night. Good morning.
He was wiping his brow the whole time.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Every time I have a date, there's only one place to go. That's to the drive-in. It's such a groovy place to talk and maybe watch a show down at the drive-in. Forget about the plot, it'll do very well, but make sure you see enough so you prepare to tell about the drive-in. I love the drive-in. If the windows get foggy, you'll have to take a break.
There are still a few of those places hanging on, and there are, former drive-in theaters that have been converted into like swap meet or flea market space.
Sad.
So like the land is still there relatively in the same shape as it was. It's just no longer used as a drive-in. And then there are the drive-ins that are still around, which actually this is kind of exciting. I think it's as of 2011 or 12, the tide of decline had stemmed.
Whoa.
There for a long time, probably starting in the 70s, the number of operating drive-ins was in decline, and I think it went into like a steep decline in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But it has actually flatlined now. It is not declining anymore, and there are actually new drive-ins that are opening.
Wow.
But there is a tricky catch to that.
Uh-oh.
That we'll come around to maybe a little bit later. But I was mystified by the drive-in. And I sort of pictured it as this like magical place where like warring factions of teenagers like ruled everything, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't ever go until I was like in my 20s or so.
Yeah, you know, my understanding of the drive-in as a kid was one of like I always pictured it, you know, in the time period in which it was generally conveyed, like the 50s, right?
Yeah, cars with fins.
Yeah, yeah. That like I've never, even now, if I mentally kind of summon up my image of a drive-in theater, that is exactly what I picture. Mm-hmm. I don't picture modern cars or anything like that, you know?
And I think that's like, the imagery that's associated with it, it's like it stopped at a certain point.
Yeah.
Or it's like we stopped romanticizing it.
Hmm.
You know, it's in a way it's weird because like they were still popular into like the 70s, but I guess maybe the difference is that like the subject matter of the movies changed, and so maybe the audience changed a little bit. Like it used to be sort of like a family outing, and then it kind of became more of like a date you know, area.
That's how I always picture it.
And then from there it moved on to more of like I don't know, sort of like a Den of Rejects or something.
Really? Oh,
but it's like it's still has always been around there. It's just sort of fell from prominence, I guess. So like there's this permanent image fixed in our heads of, you know, the height of the fascination.
Yeah.
But where I was going with all of that was sort of back to the idealized vision. You know, you think about that. When you say drive-in, you picture, you know, like kids from the 50s driving, you know, like a convertible or whatever.
Yeah.
Go into this theater and drinking soda, eating popcorn or whatnot. Yeah. None of them are
smooching,
maybe. Mm-hmm. Going and getting snacks. Maybe there's kids on the playground. Nobody's ever like smacking the back of their neck to get rid of the mosquitoes that are like feasting on them all night long.
No one's knocking the little speaker trying to get it to produce better sound.
Yeah. Or driving off with it at the end of the night and then having to return it to the counter and being like, sorry, I broke your speaker. Nobody's like sweating profusely. Right. You know, in the course of trying to watch a movie outside.
No one's yelling.
In the summer. Yeah. Or trying to hear over somebody else yelling. Yeah, so there are all these, like, real-world things that nobody seems to remember.
You forget about it, yeah.
Yeah, although my parents were always very quick to point those out to me whenever I would talk about the drive-in. I remember, like, so great was my fascination with the drive-in. Like, I would do these movie marathons or double features. I actually...
For your parents?
No, for me. I did, I was probably like 10 or 11 and I took like a cardboard box.
Oh man.
And I made it into like a little car. And I went into.
Like you'd sit in it?
Yeah. Oh, I would sit in this box and I would, in my basement, I would put, I would take bar stools.
Yeah.
And I would position them at either side of like the living space next to the TV. And I would take like giant blankets and stretch them over it. That I guess was supposed to be like night to make it seem like night. I don't know. That was like part of the thing.
Over what?
Like over the space. Like I would make a canopy of a blanket.
Oh, okay. You're so like blankets, a tent.
Yeah. Like a big tent with my car underneath it.
And the TV.
Yeah. And then I would go to the library and get books. And later, you know, like get on the internet or get on like news groups.
Yeah.
And I would figure out what movies had played together when they were released at drive-ins.
Oh my
God. I would watch them in that order.
Oh, man.
And I had a tape of drive-in like intermission commercials. Oh. So I would swap them out. Like I would watch the one movie and then I would, you know, put the intermission promos on and then put the new movie in.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I was very dedicated to this cause. And I would do this and my parents would be like, you know, isn't this a lot of work? Or you know, like, cause I was impeding their ability to go into the basement, really. Like, you know, my dad would want to get down there and like work on, you know, bills or something. Yeah. And he'd have to like walk around this giant tent contraption, you know, and he would be like, why are you doing this?
Oh,
and
man.
I would be like, well, it's easy for you to say, you guys got to, you know, go to drive-ins.
Yes, that's right.
I would like throw it back. Get all indignant, you know? And that was the other thing too. Like
you're
I would
sitting
go to...
in the box as you yelling. It's easy for you to say. I never got this experience.
You could have had this anytime you wanted, gesturing to my cardboard car. he would always be like, I would buy these tapes from like Suncoast, you know, and he would be like, why are you always like spending all your money on all these videos that you only watch once
how
or whatever?
How old are you?
11, 12, 14, something like that.
Like how long did you do this?
A couple years probably. Okay. Yeah. Well, I did the car thing, you know, for like a year or two. And then eventually it was a lot of work, right? You know? And I think I maybe outgrew the car.
Oh, man.
But so then I would just do it like I would still follow the same pattern. I would just do it like from the couch.
Right. You know? Did you still do the tent?
No. The tent went away with the car.
It is adorable. That whole thing. Like,
but my dad would always, like, you know, he would say, like, oh, yeah, sure, it was so great sitting outside with the mosquitoes, you know, or having some jerk bump into your car.
You're like, I'd gladly go through that.
I would take that, yeah.
It's worth it.
It's a fair trade, I think. At least give me the chance to figure that out for myself, Dad. You all right? I learned it from watching you.
It's so incredible. I'm impressed. I'm amazed at the dedication. Like,
I was seriously hung up.
It sounds like fun.
It was fun. Yeah. The one thing I never did and I always wanted to do was, like, later when I actually had a car, I seriously considered
driving it into your basement.
Going down the steps. No, I wanted to, like,
easy for you to say, Dad. I never got this experience. Get your car out of the basement. Fine.
We didn't get you that car so you could drive it into the basement. No, I wanted to put a TV, like, go outside, put a TV, like, on the hood of the car and, like, sit in the front seat and watch the movie there. But I could never figure out, like, the logistics of powering it.
Maybe you could figure it out now, though.
Probably, yeah. Well, you could just watch it on your phone or, you know, something like that.
No, you need a screen, real screen.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, wow. Did you ever, like, have a friend come over, or was it always just on your own?
Always on my own, because I couldn't make another car. Yeah, well, yeah, there was that. I mean, how often do you get a refrigerator box or, you know, whatever? That was a Cadillac, by the way. The refrigerator.
Did you have your friends hide in the cardboard trunk? All right, get out.
I'd pretend. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would sometimes, like, pretend that there was, like, you know, stuff going on around me, like. I would, you know, in the midst of, like, intermission, I would like, you know, turn on the radio or whatever and pretend like I'm listening to Wolfman Jack or something. And
oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But no, I could never, like, I never felt comfortable even, like, approaching people. Yeah. Like, would you like to watch Creature from the Black Lagoon and Tarantula with me later from a cardboard car?
Yeah.
It just never seemed like something that I could... proposition someone with.
That's amazing. I get it. I mean, I totally get it. Like, I did similar things, you know, with other, I guess, obsessions of mine. You know, I'd manufacture some kind of, like, facade for it. But
some kind of indulgence.
That never even occurred to me.
No?
No. No. That's pretty great.
Well, it really sort of hit a fever point when I went to Disney World and went to their, at the Hollywood Studios, the sci-fi restaurant, sci-fi dine-in theater.
And at this point, you still had not...
I have not been to a drive-in. I've only seen them in movies and, like, read about them in stories and stuff.
Yeah.
And I go in there, and of course, it's, like, perfect, right?
Yeah.
It's like, the epitome of what you imagine the drive-in experience
being. Except there
are Except that there are tables in the cars. In the cars. You're not actually watching a movie.
Right.
And there are waiters all around you. Yeah. But apart from that, you know, it's fairly authentic to what my idealized version of it was. But coming out of that experience, like, that just set it on fire. Oh, wow. Like, I was... headlong into it after that. And that was when I really got into, like, the specifics of what movies, you know, were played together. And and it was interesting, like, that that whole, like the movies, even then I would, like, say to myself, like, it's not really about these movies. Like, you know, I felt like, even as, like, a 10-year-old, I was like, well, these are maybe not the greatest movies, you know, but in that context, it works, you know?
Man, it's like your fledgling opinions, you know?
I've started, segmenting my views.
Like, it's not about watching the movie. The experience.
Hurry, step right this way, folks, for the most extravagant array of refreshment goodies ever assembled under one roof. Enjoy breathtaking, taste-tempting candies of finest quality. Enjoy popcorn exploded into tender, delicious, crispy bites of crunchy goodness. Enjoy the Tops in cool, refreshing soft drinks. If you want to enjoy some refreshments, this is your opportunity. There will now be a short intermission.
I was it was so into it for a long time that when I finally did go,
oh no,
I felt like I was almost in a panic because I was worried that there was no way that it could live up, right? Like I had to like tell myself, you know, like don't go there expecting it to be, you know, like everything you sort of want it to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I go, so I went, it was sort of like a surprise outing, actually. I was, my significant other at the time was living in Chicago and had flown back into St. Louis for the weekend.
Okay.
And she's like, we're going to go out. It's going to be fun. You know, don't need to plan anything or bring anything, you know? So I'm like, oh, okay, sure, whatever. You know, we get on the road and we drive into Illinois, which is where the closest still existing drive-in mm-hmm. is. It's the Skyview in Belleville, mm-hmm. sort of on the outskirts of Belleville. And I had driven by this place.
Okay.
So I knew where it was.
Yeah.
But it didn't, like, I started to wonder as we were driving into Illinois, like, where are we going? You know, surely we're not going to a strip club, so.
Right.
The options are limited.
Yeah.
And I figured out eventually that we were going to the drive-in. Got really, you know, really excited.
Yeah.
We went to see the Dawn of the Dead remake.
Uh-huh.
And this was my second time seeing the Dawn of the Dead remake.
Okay.
And I had enjoyed it the first time.
Yeah.
But, like, for whatever reason, that whole, like, well, it's not about the movies thing actually held true in this case, too, because I didn't, like, I actually didn't like the movie all that much on the second viewing.
Mm.
But it was, like, a perfect night. Like, there were no, like, bugs or anything.
Mm.
There was nothing, like, obscuring my view. Like, uh-huh. there were no cars in front of me, uh-huh. which is, this is what people tell me, like, when I talk to people who used to go to drive-ins all the time, they're like, yeah. oh, man, it sucked because some guy would drive in front of your park in front of your car and you wouldn't be able to see over them, or, you know, you wouldn't be able to see the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was, you know, somewhat worried about that.
Yeah.
I didn't have to deal with it. It was great. Like vantage point and everything. And then when we left, there was a carnival in front of the drive-in.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, this doesn't happen in real life.
Right.
This is impossible. So I now have like even more inflated views of the drive-in.
Oh, brother.
But I've never had a bad experience at the drive-in.
Did you call your dad after that? You're like, there were no bugs.
No bugs. No jerks.
Yeah.
It's just you. You're the only jerk. Try to tell me I won't like it. I loved it. I went immediately to their house. Yeah. I was like, get in the car, Dad. We're going to the drive-in.
I'm going to show you. I don't know. Like I said, like everything leading up to the movie starting sounds like fun, and then I'm just unsure about the movie part of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm interested in this because it seems like something you would immediately discount because it's not the optimal viewing experience.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough. I mean, the sound is coming through car speakers.
Yeah.
So, like, already that's bad.
Now, keep in mind, though, that it's like 5.1 sound now. It's digital sound.
But it doesn't matter if your stereo
If your stereo is crappy, yeah. But if you have a nice car stereo,
yeah.
then it's not it's not so bad.
I think that's maybe the biggest, you know, question mark for me is like being able to hear
the presentation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they still have seats in the front? Some of them had seats.
No, at least not the ones that I've been to.
At the drive-in.
Yeah.
Did you know this?
No.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes they would actually have theater seats next to the screen.
Huh. I did not know that. It doesn't entirely surprise me. A lot of times, like in my experience, people won't sit in their cars. They'll just bring lawn chairs or something.
That's crazy.
And park and then sit in front of their car.
Or sit on the hood.
I don't recall seeing people sit on the hood.
Well, you could.
Yes, you can. It seems like that would be uncomfortable, though.
Whatever.
After a while. It seems like you would damage your car.
You could bat if you had like a pickup truck. You could back it in and then sit in the truck bed.
Yeah, well, that's what I did with the SUV. Like it was like a RAV or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you just throw up the back thing and then watch it through the.
That's
back.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Do they still have playgrounds?
Some of them do. Mm-hmm.
I guess that's for like to keep the little kids.
Yeah.
Busy.
You know, family outing. Kids don't want to watch the movie.
Yeah.
Some of them do. Some of them don't. I'm watching the movie. I'm not going.
Well,
to the
yeah, me too.
But you can also, you know, if you want to get a good spot, you probably get there a little bit early, so the playground gives the kids something to do while you're waiting for the movie to start.
And then, like every movie theater, you have concessions.
You have concessions, a special breed of concessions.
They've made concessions for you to have concessions.
The thing about
breed
drive-in concessions.
What?
Like, I mean, nowadays it's sort of becoming standard, or at least a very frequent option to have like a meal or, you know, significant food, right?
Yeah.
Like at the theater.
Yeah.
Give you like table service, you know?
Yeah.
We've talked about
some
that.
Some jerk can walk in front of you trying to watch the movie.
Yeah. Can I get you anything? Yeah, you get out of my face so I can watch the movie in this movie theater. Let me speak to your manager.
He keeps walking in here. He's a waiter.
He's serving you. No, he's not.
Serving me up a
whole lot of angst.
I'm leaving. I'm going to the drive-in.
Yeah, but drive-ins used to do like burgers and you know, not meals, but you know, you can get a significant thing. It wasn't just candy and popcorn, you know.
Did they ever combine the like the waitresses on roller skates?
I feel like probably. I've never seen that,
right.
But like in an actual functioning drive-in,
right?
But I imagine that's probably has happened somewhere,
right,
where they had roller service.
So what is anything different about drive-ins now versus how they used to operate? Like you said that they pipe the sound in through your car stereo now.
Yeah, it comes in through the radio. The payment process is a little bit different now. Like traditionally, it was sort of by carload, and I think the last time that I went, it was per person. So they kind of they got you on that. I mean, you could still smuggle somebody in the trunk, I guess, but it's just going to cost you a little bit more than it used to. Yeah, huh. You're not paying by the carload. But then there's that SUV thing where they try to prevent you from having your view obscured.
Good.
It's nice thinking. Yeah. A lot of them now, I don't know.
They should have that in regular theaters. Tall people shouldn't be allowed as in the front.
Right, yeah. This is the tall zone.
Yeah.
Stand behind the yellow line.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have multi-screens.
Multi-screens?
Yeah, multiple
what
screens.
What does that mean?
So in order to show more movies, a drive-in will have two screens.
Okay.
Sometimes they are like back-to-back. Where one screen is visible in this direction and the screen is visible in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
The one in Illinois, it's actually, there are places where you can watch both movies concurrently. Like if you park in the right spot, you can see the one screen, the closer screen up front, and then you can see the other screen behind you. And I guess you just like
behind
switch
you?
Stations or behind the other screen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Weird.
Or you can, if you time it right, if the movies work out, you can watch one movie on the first screen and then drive over to the other area and watch the second movie over there. They still do double features. Like everything is all, it's all still a double feature.
I was hoping that you would say there's two screens and like basically you pull in, there's this, you know, giant parking lot essentially, right? Mm-hmm. And on one end of the parking lot is one screen and on the opposite end is the other screen. And then you park to face the screen you want to watch. And so everyone's like
pointing in different directions. Yeah.
And you can see like other people facing you as you're watching the movie.
It's like sitting on the subway with like where you're looking across the aisle at somebody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There aren't any like that?
Maybe.
That would be excellent. Or maybe it's like a ring of them, you know? Like
The
perimeter is lined with screens. And you just, what I like is the idea that like there's no organization, like they leave it all up to the
it's
customers.
It's just total, chaos.
Like park where you want, watch the screen you want to watch. You sort
are they
it
showing
out
different movies on all these screens?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then so like everyone's parked haphazardly wherever they can go.
Facing whatever screen they're most interested in. Maybe they change their mind in the middle of it. They drive.
And
you just have a bunch of crisscrossing cars.
And there's just giant speakers that blast the sound to all the movies at once.
Oh, I thought you're saying like there's just one speaker.
Yeah.
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 One.
There's not in your car.
No.
They're just like loudspeakers.
It does it all at once.
Yeah.
All of the. I like the idea that it just switches. Like maybe it goes in like a wave. Yeah.
You gotta like turn. So you're constantly moving your car.
You just drive in circles. It's like a whirlpool on a parking
Everyone's in traffic.
Everybody's. It's like that place in Rome where all those cars are constantly circling roundabout.
Yes. If they really wanted to like utilize the car aspect, right? Because the problem right now is like, you pull in and you park and then you watch a movie. Like the car is, you know, non-essential
now
at that point.
Now it's done.
Right?
Yeah, it's purpose.
So what they should do is have the screen moves, you know?
To give your car something to do.
Keep up with the screen. Like maybe they have a long track, you know? Just a long stretch of land that's long enough for the screen to move the whole time that the movie's playing, just in a straight line.
Uh-huh.
And you just have to keep
driving. Just keep inching.
Yeah. Or it's like a steady 15 miles an hour, you know.
You put it on cruise control and just drift.
And you have to weave ahead if you want to get a better, you know, view.
That's good.
That totally you know fully utilizes the car aspect of this, right?
Yes, it does. It does. It embraces that.
And the sound is coming from the screen.
Oh, so if you want to hear it, you got to I'm in. I'm totally down with this idea.
Would you go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like I said, it's not about the movie, it's about the experience.
What other ways? Like I want to think of other ways to like make the car more of a player here.
What if you each had like individual screens,
mm-hmm.
and you could, but in order to keep watching, you had to keep driving.
Yeah. So yeah. If you stop, like the movie stops.
The movie stops. Yeah.
So they put like a frame on your car.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they put the screen on there, the projector on your hood.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, the projector is linked to your accelerator, so the faster you go, the faster the reels will turn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For one, right? And for two, if you stop, the movie stops.
That's how they combated the VCR, the introduction of the VCR. They're like, we've got fast forwarding and rewinding too.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to speed it up?
If you
just fast forward. You just drive. You just drive a little faster. You want to go backwards? Put it in reverse.
Exactly. Oh man. One of my favorite drive-in movie moments, like not at a drive-in, but in the movies,
mm-hmm.
drive-in, is from Back to the Future Part 3.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're...
The Western one.
Yeah. And they actually filmed this in Monument Valley.
Was that really a drive-in?
No, they built that.
They built that, okay.
But the great thing is, like, you know, the doc gets Marty set up to... You know, take the DeLorean back in time to 1885. You know, one, he dresses him like a cowboy from the 50s or whatever, right? looks ridiculous. But then they're like, he's like, okay, you should have plenty of room to get up to 88 miles per hour, and then you'll go back in time. And like Marty's looking it over and he sees, you know, at the where the screen is, they've painted all these Indians, right? And he's like, Doc, I'm gonna run into those Indians. And he's like, Marty, you're not thinking fourth dimensionally. When you go back in time, those Indians won't even be there. Right. And so he does it. He goes, you know, gets 88 miles per hour and breaks through the time barrier or whatever, and the painted Indians on the backdrop of the drive-in theater become real Indians on horseback coming at him. I forgot
about that scene. Yeah. That's awesome.
It's incredible. And he goes, Indians! And he hits, hits the brakes and throws it into reverse. And then he like parks underneath. He gets, he manages to hide underneath like a little cavern overhang.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he like peeks his head out after the Indians all jump over it. And then he hears cavalry. That's one of my. I love that the drive-in that moment there. The drive-in.
There were there have been a lot of great drive-in scenes.
Yeah,
drive-in use of the drive-in. The Pee-wee's Big Adventure, the conclusion of Pee-wee's Big Adventure takes place at a drive-in.
Paging Mr. Herman. Right?
What's the Mickey, the ex-con or whatever, who like he gives him like a hot dog and there's a giant there's like a giant knife hidden in the bun or whatever. That's the only part of that scene I really remember.
There's the Grease. Grease has a
drive-in
scene that I used to fast forward through because I think they sing a song during that.
Yeah,
and I used to
every scene. Man, they just keep singing.
And what's the one? Outsiders?
I think. Oh, yeah, yeah. That one had a drive-in.
Had a famously had a drive-in scene.
There there was an awesome movie from 1983, I think. Did we mention this on the BMX Bandits one?
I don't know.
The guy who directed BMX Bandits, before I think before he directed it, he directed a movie called Dead End Drive-In.
Yeah, we did talk about
this. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Awesome. Amazing movie.
There was a movie that we watched during Halloween, maybe last year, that was about sort of these this haunting or whatever. And there was a drive-in movie theater in it. And at one point, someone goes to this drive-in. It's empty. There's no one there currently. Mm-hmm. But then, like, crazy stuff starts happening. And all the lights go out. When the lights come back on, there's, like, a person, like, pinned to the drive-in screen. And it's totally creepy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking
about? The rest
about?
Of the movie was not very creepy. No,
the rest of the movie was terrible, but that moment freaked me out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It really did.
We need to ask Nathan what movie that was.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was.
Scene. There was similar to that in Explorers. Have you ever seen Explorers?
I mean,
River Phoenix?
A long time ago. Yeah.
There's a drive-in scene in there where they... when they're taking the spacecraft sort of for a test run, and they're like, well, where should we go? What do you do on a Friday night? Let's go to the drive-in. And they, like, fly it in there. And they, I guess they have, like, no sense of, like, spatial relations. Like, they have no clue where they are.
Yeah.
And they're right in front of the screen. Like, like the movie is being projected onto them. But it's great because there's like spaceship scenes in the movie,
yes,
and their spaceship is, you know, flying by the drive-in screen. That was awesome.
They have no idea.
They don't. They're like, where are we?
What does that mean? Where are we? You're in front of the TV or the video screen. The drive-in.
And my dad would have been like, why do you let that spaceship fly in front of the screen? And I'd be like, Dad, you don't get it. You had this experience.
I wish I could have experienced that. There was weren't there people who could see drive-in screens from their houses?
Yeah, like in Monster Squad.
That's right. I was trying to remember what movie that was.
Yeah.
Exactly. And yeah. Didn't he have a speaker or something, too?
Yeah, like a hand radio.
Somehow he was able to pick up the...
Yeah, he got the signal that was going out to the speakers, I guess. Pretty smart. That's why he's the leader of the squad.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and I remember I knew somebody who lived sort of behind where the 66 was, and she said that like you could actually see it. I mean, sometimes you would have to... If it was like middle of summer, the trees would block it. But like if you watch it in the fall or the spring, you could sort of see through your backyard into the projection.
That's not bad.
No, not bad at all.
Free movies.
Yeah.
No sound.
You just imagine.
Yeah. You can make up your own soundtrack.
That's true. People probably did that.
Yeah.
I mentioned earlier that there was a challenge.
Oh.
present now to the
the resurgence. To listeners.
Yeah, go to a drive-in right now. Play this over the speakers. Now I said how the decline of drive-ins had been sort of stopped.
Right, and then now.
Now they're facing a new challenge thanks to digital projection.
Okay.
So studios are now to the point where they have set a cutoff date for when they're going to stop shipping film prints.
Right.
And it kind of irritates me that this hasn't gotten more public attention. You know, like the announcement was made.
Yeah.
And so there was sort of an outcry in the film world, but it hasn't really made, you know, like I haven't heard like NPR stories on it or anything, you know, maybe it'll be coming eventually. But drive-ins have traditionally relied on the film projection.
Yeah.
Some of them, the ones who were able to, were invested in digital projection, you know, when that started to become available. But they operate on pretty thin margins, and most of them are just barely getting by, so they can't really afford the heavy investment into the digital equipment, the projection systems. But this is actually a pretty cool promotion that Honda did. I think it's Honda.
Okay.
They're doing right now where you can vote for drive-ins, your favorite drive-in, that does not currently have a digital projection system. And they are, I think, pledging to pay for the upgrade, the digital upgrade for the winning five theaters.
Wow.
As a means of, you know, further promoting the car culture and everything. That's pretty cool. I like it. We'll drop a link in the show notes.
Wow. Have you
so
voted?
You can vote. I voted.
What did you vote for?
There's a place in Cadet, Missouri that I voted for, and one sort of in southwestern Missouri. I can't remember the name of it. I think it might just be like, it might be the 66 or something
like
that.
Did you vote for Skyview?
Skyview already has it, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They were ahead of the curve. Skyview's been doing pretty well. Like they seem to always be packed whenever I'm there.
Wow.
They have a good... I guess a good regular base, and they do other things too. They do like special programming. In a way, this is the only thing that will be impacted by this digital shift. They every Halloween do a horror marathon or a series of weekends where they do like old horror movies, and they're saying like previously they would struggle to get film prints to show of those movies. You know, the older the movies got, the harder it was to get the film print or a working film print. And now with digital projection, they can just get a Blu-ray and show whatever movie they want.
There you go.
So in a way it could end up being a blessing for them in that regard.
So stop complaining, John.
Yeah, quit your whining.
You.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Me?
You're the one complaining.
I never had inferior film projection, Dad.
I bet people honked their horns. I bet that was annoying.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I imagined it was. Imagined it would be annoying if we were sitting in a movie theater, a regular theater, and somebody honked their horn.
You need a... I want you to like recreate your home drive-in theater from when you were a kid, but go further, like put together a sound, you know, clip of various annoying noises.
Oh, like background noise?
Yeah.
There was a DVD series that actually did that.
There you go.
It had like an audio track that you could play that would have like muffled atmospheric sounds around you.
And then you can have Deanna like run a little concession stand in your kitchen and... And what else you need to have? Like, what are the other things you didn't do? You need to like.
I need a playground.
Yeah, you could set up like a little swing set.
Build a playground.
Yeah, and then you need to like pipe the sound of the movie through your phone, rather than
through the TV speakers.
Right?
Yeah, good call.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's like your cell phone is like a cultural. Successor to the drive-in movie screen.
Exactly.
Or the telephone.
I actually do wonder if that will become a thing, like if you'll download the drive-ins app.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you can sort of pipe it
through.
And
you get the sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be interesting.
Because a lot of times you can hook your phone into your auxiliary, you know?
Yeah.
on port on the radio.
You know, actually, now that we're saying that, I'm kind of wondering why more drive-ins haven't maybe started pushing that angle.
Some kind of like phone app.
Or even just the experience, like sort of that second screen idea. Like, you know, instead of, you know, doing it in a movie theater where you're going to distract somebody, nobody's noticing what's happening, you know, in the car, you know, to the left of you.
Right.
So you could, you know, have an app. You could be like reading your
trivia.
Oh, yeah. Like they could send out trivia. Maybe
this is the first time a toilet was shown flushing on film.
That's right. I'd go see that movie in a drive-in.
Yeah. I would, but the ending would scare me. When he runs out of the...
When you get pinned to the drive-in screen? That's what I need to do.
That really... Oh, God.
My dad comes downstairs. Man. Why are you pinned to the TV?
I never got to experience this.
Yeah, man. I hope they stick around in some form or fashion.
Yeah, I imagine like some will, right?
Yeah.
I don't think they'll ever all go away.
No. We like them too much.
We'll find out.
We'll find out.
Yeah, go vote.
Go vote. Now.
After.
After we put this in the hour cap.
Yeah.
Please replace the speaker on its rack when you're ready to leave. Failure to do so will damage both the speaker and your car. We'll be grateful, and so will the patrons who follow you.